This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, if it is, it's a mystery to me and all of our doctors, because it's frequently, not frequently, nothing, rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated. She's worked like a demon.
So, Bill Clinton said, you know, you saw him catch himself frequently to rarely. CBS Evening News edited out the frequently part, and they put out a statement today. The clip in question from former President Clinton's interview with Charlie Rose ran its entirety on CBS This Morning and their online services. One clip that ran on CBS Evening News was edited purely for time while on deadline for the live broadcast. I'm not sure if they saved a second or a second and a half, but Charles.
This is a real day for... If you believe that, you'll believe anything. It makes you really want to walk away and discuss from politics and the media. That is an outright, well, I won't call it a lie. That is not a believable statement. As you say, it's a second or two. It isn't a question of a time. They were covering for them. And the reason it's important, it's a slip, yes, but it wasn't. It's in the context of a couple who hide stuff. They've been hiding stuff for 30 years. And what everybody is asking, are they hiding something more serious? The frequently and the rarely is a huge difference, and he said both. So which is true? You have to see them if you're going to make a choice.
Well, this is the thing that happens when people are lying, right? It's been said you got to have a great memory. And sometimes those obvious things just slip out. And, you know, CBS covered it in much the same way the mainstream media has covered Democrats for years. I mean, remember when Barack Obama talked about visiting all 56 states, when he talked about his Muslim faith, and George Stephanopoulos quickly corrected him. You got the infamous Candy Crowley buried Mitt Romney, and somehow Mitt Romney wanted to give her the shovel and say, yeah, just go ahead and bury me and bury the campaign. And allowed Candy Crowley and Barack Obama to get away with it. I mean, this is it's the order of the day. You know, this is what happens. And I understand, you know, for people who are not Republicans, they go, oh, there they go again. They're just whining and stuff. Really, you know, this is why we keep pushing this issue about pursuing the truth, no matter where it leads. You know, our media is just not doing their job, and they're leaving us vulnerable. If no one else is going to hold our government into account, then who is? I mean, thank God for social media today. Thank God for shows like ours that are independent. You know, we are very independent, and this gives us a tremendous amount of latitude. And I'm grateful for our affiliates that they allow us to be independent so that we can pursue the truth no matter where it leads. Because if we're going to get this country back on track, we need to understand what it is we're dealing with. I mean, yes, we complain about ISIS, that, you know, our government's not telling us everything. You know, we've got a Snowden movie that's coming out. See if that doesn't rev you up a little bit and help you understand just how diabolical and how self-serving this bureaucracy has become. But again, this is what happens when we allow a government that was set up and designed for and of and, you know, by we the people. And we abandon our post. Okay, go ahead, Scott. Yeah,
yeah. There's enough things that we should be working together to fix, to working together to make better for everyone. And you know, something like you know, I always think about Whitewater. You know, Nixon. Does that happen?
You mean Watergate?
Watergate. I'm sorry. Yep, yes. Right. Does that happen in today's media?
No. Well, and you might say the only reason that Nixon was exposed was because it was a Republican. You know, it was hard pressed when you know, President Clinton had his issues in the Oval Office with one intern. It was hard pressed to make that happen, and it was only because the Republicans were in control a bit at the time. Anyway, the discussion will continue. It's up to us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us to pursue the truth. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 after the top of the hour.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It's about the vital things of our life, you know, our country, our families, all that we live for, you know, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to pursue that which will get this country back on track. Welcome back. It's Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann is with us, former Lieutenant Colonel and Green Beret, CEO of Mission America, author of the best-selling novel Game Changers. He spent 23 years in the Army Special Forces career involved in foreign internal defense, counterinsurgency, and stability missions. He is actively still involved in day-to-day transition of Green Berets from active duty into civilian life. Colonel Scott Mann, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Hey, Bill, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you know, it continues. There's plenty to talk about. You know, on the heels of 9/11, the 15th anniversary, we got Benghazi 4 years ago to look back on. You know, how has terrorism changed?
Oh, wow. Yeah, in so many ways. I mean, this is the right time to reflect on that, I suppose, isn't it? With September 11th coming up to the 15-year anniversary, and then just hard to believe, but a year since my book Game Changers came out. And just in that year, Bill, it's changed. You know what I think how it's changed most poignantly to me is the manner in which terror is applied by the group ISIS. It is so decentralized and so local and so in your face. I just think that's unprecedented in the history of terrorism.
It's also so extreme. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you think, okay, what are the limits? I mean, there seems to be no limits, Colonel, here, you know?
Yeah, so the thing that I would say everybody needs to be thinking about here is understanding why ISIS in particular applies this level of extreme terror. My friend Dave, who works at the agency in D.C., that three-letter agency that shall not be named, he says that ISIS doesn't practice terrorism like Al-Qaeda and the other groups do. They practice horrorism, which is the application of horrific violence to achieve not a political outcome against civilians, but social control, literally paralysis. Why do they do that? What they want, Bill, is they want a manufactured holy war. They follow a prophetic methodology that says we're going to fight them in the desert of Syria along with 80 other banners of the West. And they need to draw us into a fight. So they are going to be as in your face as they possibly can to get us emotional and to get us to go lock, stock, and barrel back into the Middle East circa 9/12/2001.
And they know the people around the world are war-weary. They're going to do everything they can to avoid it. And, you know, there are some hawks that say, look, ISIS should not be disappointed. If a fight is what they want, a fight is what they should get, and we should take it to them. I mean, to me, it's, you know, Scott, it's a little bit about, you know, when you're carrying a gun and you decide at that moment in time that it's time to take the gun out of the holster. Well, you don't take the gun out of the holster just to, you know, fan it all around. I mean, it has its purpose. And this is the same thing here, is that ISIS has given us more than one reason to unholster our weapons. But for some reason, you know, we'll let them see the weapon and we may get it out of the holster once in a while. But that's about it. And they're just taunting us.
Well, here's the thing, Bill, and I agree with you. And I was on O'Reilly not too long ago talking about this, and I was talking about the end of days. And, you know, O'Reilly said, well, fine, let's give them the end of days. You know, and I agree with that. But here's the thing. We've been coming at them kinetically since 2001 in a very heavy way, especially our special ops. But I will tell you, Antonio Gustozzi, one of the leading authorities on Afghanistan, wrote that in 2005 and 6, coalition forces were spending on average $16 million for every Taliban we killed on the battlefield. Now, when you look at where the Taliban is today, poised to take over most of the country, that's a horrible return on investment for
war
fighting.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that.
Yeah, we've got to change the game in how we pull the gun out of the holster. It's got to be a different approach, a bottom-up, local approach. That's what my book, Game Changers, is about.
And I agree, Scott, that we have got to capture the hearts of the local people. And when you have an administration and policies that are kind of pell-mell and inconsistent, if I was a local person, I would wonder whether or not the United States was serious about really attacking this issue. And if they're kind of willy-nilly about it, why should I be all in? Why should I put my own life and the lives of my family members at risk when they're just kind of futzing around here, so to speak?
Well, Bill, my son Cody, my oldest boy, was 3 when the towers fell on that September day. And now he's on his path to become an Army officer in Army ROTC and fight the war that I didn't finish. So I get it. I get what you're saying. And I think a lot of other Americans do, too. But here's my challenge to all of us listening to this right now. We've had 2 administrations who didn't get it right. We've got a 3rd about to come in here. What role are we going to play politically as a citizenry to get informed and demand that our politicians at the national and the local level take this threat seriously? And if we're not advancing that requirement, apolitically, regardless of party, then we are missing the boat as a citizenry.
Well, you're pointing out what we spoke of earlier, Colonel, and that is that this is a government of, for, and by we the people. I mean, you know,
that's
you can sit there and complain and point fingers if you want it at George W., at Barack Obama, but hey, look, this is our country. And regardless of the media not doing their job, you know, thank God for the media that we have available today, social media. I mean, look what it's driving today. And it is a powerhouse, but we need to stay focused on what it is that we need to accomplish and understand that there are times, as you and I have discussed before, there's a time for peace and a time for war. And the longer you ignore war, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We have been this way before. It is deja vu one more time, and we are repeating the mistakes of World War II all over again. Scott, I am looking at the pictures. I am getting the reports of what's coming out of Assyria, what has happened to the people there, how they're being abused. And, I mean, it is absolutely disgusting what's going on. We see pictures of a little boy lying face down on the shores there in Syria, another one who's smoke covered and dust covered and everything. I mean, if that doesn't break your heart, but it's got to do more than break your heart.
Right. No, America sat on the sidelines for a large chunk of Hitler's ramp across Europe. And it wasn't until guys like Frank Capra, the Hollywood producer who produced Why We Fight, and others who really painted the picture. Where are those people today? You know, I'm like you, Bill. I mean, there are all kinds of platforms. Look at the platform that you've built. Look at the way that you lead from where your radio station is. There's all kinds of ways to build momentum and demand change and to get involved and lead in this effort and demand that our politicians do the same. Nobody from D.C. is coming. If we're waiting on this 2016 election to just miraculously produce a strategy to win this war, we are going to put ourselves and our families at more risk than at any time in our history if we don't step up and lead from the bottom up.
But, Scott, you know as well as I do, it starts with leadership. You know, we've been saying on the show repeatedly, leadership takes you from where you are to where you need to be. And look at who we have right now. 2 very unlikely candidates in Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And, you know, what leadership vacuum? What are they going to do in order to get this country out of the situation that it's in, where 7 out of 10 of us agree that we're on the wrong track? Who has the intestinal fortitude and the qualities that is required to lead this nation in the 21st century America that we're in right now?
I'd love to hit that one if we've got time in this segment or at least in the next one, because I think leadership is the key.
Okay, when we come back, Scott, we're going to address that, and I'll look forward to hearing your response on this. Scott Mann, former Lieutenant Colonel and Green Beret CEO of Mission America and the author of the best-selling novel celebrating its one-year anniversary, Game Changers. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 after the top of the hour.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
Attention, investors saving for retirement. What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you can see, touch, and hold it in your hands in the form of physical gold and silver coins? You know you can't do that with your stocks. With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually hold them in your hands, where you can get your gold fast in a disaster. Augusta Precious Metals offers free shipping, zero management fees, and Augusta pays all upfront costs. Getting started. It is absolutely free. So call today, 855-222-5857. Rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau. Augusta Precious Metals enjoys a 98% 5-star customer satisfaction rating with TrustLink.org. Trust Augusta. Call toll-free, 855-222-5857 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
What more could you want? But, you know, the opportunity to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of eternal happiness. But why not, ladies and gentlemen? A lofty goal for our founding fathers. They laid the mission out for us, and it's up to us to show up for duty and not be missing in action, because when we're missing in action, this 21st century America that we're dealing with is exactly what we got. Scott Mann is with us, former Lieutenant Colonel and Green Beret, CEO of Mission America. Scott, real quick, we can just deviate and do a little sidebar here on Mission America. It's been a while since you and I have talked about the mission of your organization that you are the chief executive officer for. Update our audience again on what Mission America is doing.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bill. I mean, Mission America, what we're all about is reconnecting warriors and civilians at a community level for a better America. What does that mean? It means bringing our war fighters and their families back home, back into the communities, and looking for ways to connect them that makes sense in each community, because every community is different. And what we're finding, Bill, is that when we do that, the ability of these guys and girls to not only transition, but to become the high performers that they are and give back to our country, it's off the charts, the stuff that's going on. We've got a book coming out called Mission America on November 10th. I'd love to come back on at some point
Absolutely.
And talk about that.
But
it's going to help our warriors come home, and it's going to help civilians understand how they can help them come home. Because you know what? When that happens, this is some of our country's greatest treasure, is when we bring these warriors home and they get back into society, things are going to get a lot better.
You know, you think about the asset that they are and have become. And
right.
Why just put them up on the shelf and say, hey, thanks for your service. We'll see you later. Ciao. When their very essence says, look at, I'm all in, and just because I'm now a civilian, it doesn't stop me from being all in. Because I can tell you, for me, in the 2 years that I served in the Marine Corps, it wasn't that all of a sudden I took back my oath, to protect and honor the Constitution and to support our country's goals. I didn't take that back. That is still part of who I am.
Absolutely. And this whole narrative that we're, that our veterans, and it was a well-meaning narrative, that we're kind of the island of misfit toys, or that we're all broken and we need a blanket. That's not the narrative. Like, our warriors and their families are some of the most high-performing people on the planet.
Exactly.
And when they get back in the game, and thank you for your service, by the way, America benefits from that. So that's what Mission America is all about, is looking for ways to connect our civilians and our warriors at a community level that makes sense at that community level, and then turn them loose and let them do what they do. And that includes changing this whole narrative that we're broken into, look, we're the high performers that need to be leading this country.
Exactly. And when you consider that you're looking at maybe, and I don't want to put it in the context, Scott, because I know this is not your heart either, to say the top 3%, or, I mean, it's only about 3% really of America that has gone out and served. It really, just in and of itself, makes it something to take note of, doesn't it?
It does. And I don't want to be one of these guys that says, well, you didn't serve, so you don't understand. I think that's dangerous.
Yes.
I think it almost sets up our veterans for an entitlement mindset. Mm-hmm. And, I was just having a conversation with my program director, Luke, on that. That's what we want to change. Mm-hmm. We don't want to ostracize or marginalize civilians. We want to connect.
Yes.
Because you know what? A ton of civilians have served in various capacities, and they want to serve our veterans. The question is, how do we help them understand what we're up against and how they can best do that in a way that makes sense for everybody? And that's what Mission America is all about.
Well, we're going to look forward to the book coming out in November. And, of course, you're always welcome, Scott, at the drop of the hat. Anytime we can have you on the show, it's an honor. Let's pick up where we left off in the last break about leadership, just how important leadership is today and how it's missing.
Yeah, leadership starts with us. I believe that leadership, and I was trained this way as a Green Beret, that leadership starts from the bottom up. If you're waiting on someone to come lead you out of your current situation, then that's just a bad position to be. Mm-hmm. Leadership starts with us. And when you look at the country right now where it is, Bill, sure, our national leadership is woefully inadequate. But you know what? So is our community leadership. So is our corporate leadership. And it starts with us. It starts with a recognition that, okay, nobody's coming. I'll step in. I'll lead, create a platform, and demand change from the bottom up. I've seen it work too many times.
Well, we just lost a week or so ago, Phyllis Schlafly, And Phyllis was such a dear friend, and she constantly echoed the significance of the grassroots movement. I mean, she was dramatic in her leading of it in the latter 40s into the 50s. And, of course, mid-60s, she was one of the original Goldwater girls. And she
right.
understood what it meant. If you were going to, you know, if you saw a change needed, she said the change started with yourself. You needed to go out there and be that change, right?
Absolutely. And look, you know, we've been here before as a country. We weren't alive during that time. But, you know, in the early 1900s, America was just coming out of the Industrial Revolution, tons of technological changes with the car, the airplane, massive immigration and crime was swelling in our cities with populations, you know, overburdening the cities. And it looked like America would fall. But you know what? A couple of local leaders stood up and said, okay, I guess nobody's coming. No mm-hmm. one's going to address alcoholism. I'll start Alcoholics Anonymous in Akron, Ohio. Okay,
exactly.
Well, I'll start the Shriners Club over here. I'll start Future Farmers of America over here. And it began in the longest-running period, Bill, of social capital in our nation's history. Bottom-up, solid community-based leadership is where things get solved. And it starts right now with us. And I'm mm-hmm. not little boy whistling in the dark.
No.
We've been here before.
Well, Scott, the other part of that that scenario that you just presented was this idea of fulfillment. And this kind of, if I might say, electrified the magnetism of this country. We became an opportunity, a land of opportunity, where people who had the ideas and resources where they could be developed, they could be exercised. And the country said, hey, come here, welcome immigrants
yep.
from all nations, come here as long as
yep.
you want to add to the proposition of America. But unfortunately, and this is where America needs to understand, is that we've become a target. People do not like what America stands for. They do not like that America has been successful. There is this this anti-American sentiment, and this is what we need to realize and wake up to. I understand
right.
that some people go, hey, I don't understand why the Middle East, why they hate us so much. And, you know, that's an entire show, maybe a week's worth of shows, and we could,
yeah.
you know, talk about that. But the short summary of it is that they do. They resent us. It's kind of like, you know, that I don't know if I've ever told you the story about the guy in Alioto's outside of the wharf in San Francisco. This guy's watching. He's waiting for his number to be called to go and have dinner, and he's watching this guy sell fresh crabs. And he notices that the lid is not on the box. It's off to the side. And every once in a while, he's seeing a pincher reach up over, you know, the top of the box. And he's going, well, the water's right there. This guy, he must be a knucklehead. He's going to lose his inventory. Finally, curiosity got to him, and he tells the guy, he goes, hey, look, I've been watching you sell these fresh crabs. I see the pinchers coming out over the box. Water's right there. You're going to lose your inventory. You know, why don't you put the lid on the box? He goes, oh, you don't understand. He says, crabs are like people. Every time somebody tries to get out, one of those crabs get out, the rest of them grab them and pull them back in.
And, absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Crabs in a bucket. Crabs in a bucket. I so agree with that, Billy.
Yeah.
Such a great metaphor or analogy for this. And it's absolutely what's going on. And I was thinking about, as you were talking about, you know, abroad, people hating America. There's a lot of people in this country that hate America.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And what we stand for. I mean, you know, just, you know, I've never met you face to face, but your name, obviously Hispanic heritage. My name
yeah.
is Scots Irish, but we come together under the ideal of an America that is from many come one, and we're losing that. What we're doing is reverting back to tribal behavior of in-groups and out-groups competing over resources and status. I've seen it in too many places all over the world, as have you.
Yes.
And so when we start reverting back to tribal behavior in a country that is actually based on individual liberty and bridging trust, we're going the wrong direction. And the only way to restore that, Bill, is leadership. And it's going to have to start with us.
Exactly. At the ground level, you're exactly right, Scott. And, you know, this is what politics in the 21st century America has done. It has made us the un-United States. And look who's driving the ship, and how so many of us, 320 million, are being controlled by a very, very elite small group of people. That's pretty scary, Scott.
Yeah, it is. If you want to see a great video or read a great book, it's called How to Kill 11 Million People.
Andy Andrews. Exactly.
And watch the Draw Shop cartoon on YouTube on the cycle of nations and how we end up.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Americans are banking on the go more than ever, as nearly two-thirds cite mobile or online as their preferred method of banking, a significant increase from last year. The third annual Bank of America Trends in Consumer Mobility report found mobile and online banking, as well as digital payments, continue to grow in popularity among U.S. consumers. More than half surveyed cite they actively use a mobile banking app, and 57% would consider or already use a peer-to-peer money transfer service from their bank. 2 in 5 would use or already use their smartphone to make purchases at checkout. Michelle Moore, head of digital banking, Bank of America.
This year's report demonstrates the growing reliance on our mobile devices to navigate daily life and manage finances. It's important for us to be where our customers are, which is why we continue to deliver new features that provide increased convenience to our more than 20 million active mobile banking users.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com.
Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight, you know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stools, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. At BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280 affiliates that we have around this country of ours or around the world via shortwave, welcome. Good to have you with us joining the good fight to do what we can to get this country back on track. And along the way, not take ourselves so seriously that we can't, laugh at ourselves, because we are funny beings after all. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez, and to this point, we have Andrew Schaefer back with us. Andrew, New York Times bestselling author of How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Unnatural Disasters, and his Ghostbusters film tie-in, A Ghost from Our Past, both literally and figuratively. We're going to talk about The Day of the Donald, his other book, here in just a moment. But before we do, Andrew, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on here.
Hey, I don't think last time we ended up talking about the Ghostbusters tie-in, Ghosts from Our Past, both literally and figuratively. Do you want a moment? And let's bring that to the light of day here, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's the study of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tie-in to the movie, and it actually appeared on screen in the Ghostbusters film, the new Ghostbusters film.
Right, very cool.
Now, as you were doing this, did you have to put a tinfoil hat, or did some of your friends go, okay, you're going to the edge here, or did you keep it safe, huh?
I checked out hundreds of books and bought hundreds of books on the paranormal, so I spent a lot of time in the paranormal section. So my librarians, my local library probably think there's something going on. I was checking all those books out, and then I was also checking all these Trump books out.
Yeah.
And I said, this is all research. This is all research.
Right.
We don't judge.
Yeah. Well, of course, you're there in New York, and you start taking that stuff out, and they're kind of keeping their eye on you and going, hey, should we call the NSA here, you know?
Oh, I know. I didn't. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, there's so much, I guess, fodder and material available, you know, with this political cycle that's going on. You know, you've got these two characters, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. You know, she's kind of the gift that keeps on giving as well, right?
Oh, my goodness. You know, you try to imagine a crazier, you know, scenario or situation, and each week something new comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote the book, The Day of the Donald, about a Trump presidency several months ago, and it mm-hmm. just seems like several years ago almost in this election cycle. It's hard to imagine what it was like, you know, just 6 or 9 months ago.
Well, we have such glaring contrast. You know, a friend of ours, Phyllis Schlafly, who we lost a week and a half ago, 92 years old, you know, she wrote a book that has just become iconic politically. Back, the first draft was done in 1964, and she updated it here, I think, earlier this year. It was called A Choice, Not an Echo. And that's the thing that you have between these two candidates. I mean, there is a clear choice. You know, what I envisioned, Andrew, this is just me speaking. I mean, you're the author. It's your book. But you do The Day of the Donald. Is it, you know, as you open up on one side and you turn it upside down, you can do The Day of Hillary on the other side and just reverse it and have it all come together in the middle and somehow maybe just make some comical sense out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought of doing a second book, a sequel, The Night of the Clintons. Although I sort of killed off Hillary Clinton in the book, spoiler alert.
Doggone it, you know.
Yeah, but you can always bring them back, you know.
Yeah. That's the Clintons. I mean, they're like cats. They keep, you know, they have another life in them. I don't know how many lives Bill Clinton is on, but I think he's probably into maybe his second or his third cat life or something, you know.
Oh, definitely. And they just keep going, so. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows, you know, no matter what happens, this isn't paying to the Clintons.
Well, when you look at The Day of the Donald, you projected, okay, look at the walls built 2 years after, you know, he's in office and all these scenarios, you know, I guess everybody's wearing a hat that, we're now, you know, making America great again, or maybe, you know, maybe by the end of the first term, it's made America great again. You know, you got to update the hats. Maybe you do versions, you know, updated versions of the hat. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, probably, because, that's why I have the opposition, that party in my book that tries to make America great again. They believe that America was once great, you know, just right now. And you don't even, by the end of the day, you know, it's like you don't even know what you're talking about in terms of making it great again, you know. You know, you could have everybody wearing opposition hats.
Right.
And it's just nuts.
well, you know, this is off of 8 years. You know, we had President Obama, you know, talking about change we could believe in, and you know. And I think some people have said, whoa, wait, I'm not sure that's what I believed in, or that was quite the vision that I had with the change that we have in America. We definitely, no doubt about it, have undergone a transition here. And some say, hey, have we gone overboard, or is there a way to recapture, as you say, you know, that position that America had that perceived itself as great, even though, you know, in academia and other places, they have a very critical view of America, thinking that, you know, maybe we're too spoiled. We've been, you know, maybe too blessed, if that's possible. But I think what they choose to ignore is that there's a lot of hardworking Americans. I mean, you know, it wasn't like all of a sudden you woke up one day and The Day of the Donald was written for you. You had to spend the nights, the research, as you say, going into the library, pulling up all these books and, you know, doing the research. It wasn't that somebody did it for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think America just needs a self-confidence boost or something.
Well, you know, it was interesting because the other day, I was hearing Barack Obama almost, channel his Jimmy Carter, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to go into the Malay speech, you know, talking about how America is kind of lazy in that. I think America is kind of, we're weary. It's been a rough 8 years. The economy, though, some economists and even the president, the administration, spokespeople. And this is, I think, just great opportunity for you because the stuff that they're sounding out. I mean, oftentimes I find myself, Andrew, going, wait a minute, is this Baghdad Bob? If you remember, when we were taking on Iraq after they had invaded Kuwait, Baghdad Bob, was out there saying, hey, we got those Americans right where we want them, and going, man, you're just getting, the holy what have you shelled out of your country here, and you have us right where the lies just keep on flying and the propaganda. But we've got to get to some point. And I think this is what humor does for us. It takes us to both extremes to where at some point we can come in the middle and say, we're kind of silly. We've kind of gone overboard here. And as you say, we kind of need, a wake up call to, find some middle ground, if I can say, to where we can really, do something that, makes America, if you want to say great again. I mean, Bill Clinton now, we've got him all over in video utilizing that term. It's just that Bill Clinton wasn't smart enough to go and trademark that line, and Donald Trump was.
Yeah, he wasn't a businessman, he's a career politician, and so. Yeah, no, it's definitely strange times here that we're in. Uncharted territory, really.
Yeah. Well, it is in some sense that it is a bit uncharted, and when you have a businessman, and maybe that's what America needs. I even as a little kid, Andrew, my dad and I used to have extensive conversations about what America needed. And even back then, as I was growing up, I said, we needed a timeout on the government. And it's almost like we need a bankruptcy CEO to come in and maybe get a hold of the budgets, make some tough decisions on some of these things that we keep talking about. Because I don't think that we necessarily have a budget problem as much as we have a priority problem with some of the real problems that America is dealing with. But maybe that's another book for you. I just keep coming up with ideas for you here, because I know you're not doing anything and you're just kind of just laying around waiting for the next big idea to come out, right?
I've been waiting to come on this show, yeah.
Hey, well, it's always good. You're always welcome. Andrew Schaefer is with us, New York Times bestselling author of How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Unnatural Disasters. And, of course, his book, The Day of the Donald, and it's available at the usual places and linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Andrew, thank you so much. It's just about 19 before the top of the hour.
If you had two paychecks instead of one, I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This message is sponsored by Elcon with USA Swimming.
Hi, I'm Dara Torres, five-time Olympic swimmer, former world record holder, and paid spokesperson for Elcon. It takes hard work and dedication to be an Olympic athlete. But now, my most important job is being a mom to my own swimmer. This summer, your children may be spending more time in the water, so it's important to know how to spot signs and symptoms of swimmer's ear and to know what to do about it. As my doctor explained, swimmer's ear, medically known as acute otitis externa, or AOE for short, is a common ear infection often brought on by water remaining in the ear after swimming, creating an environment that aids the growth of bacteria. You can learn more about swimmer's ear at drops101.com. If you notice your child has any signs of swimmer's ear, contact your doctor to discuss potential treatment options. Go to drops101.com to learn more.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world,
OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-5795. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-5795. 1-800-959-5795.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1, G2.0, and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm the lonely night. I love you, baby.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, as always. It is most excellent to have you along with us as we come to you 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're on the West Coast these days, right exactly where James Herson, the one and only, yes, James Herson, New York Times best-selling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. How you doing, James?
Hey, fantastic. How are you?
Hey, doing terrific. A little bit better than the Secretary of State. What's this pneumonia stuff going on with her?
Yeah, isn't that funny? I mean, yeah. Look, it's... her health is now a legitimate issue, according to the Washington Post, according to the New York Post, according to a lot of mainstream sources. But what's the most important thing about this story is the fact that she and her campaign continued to be deceptive, because she had this unusual situation where she had to leave the 9/11 memorial with buckling at the knees, and they told us, the public, that it was due to overheating. And for hours, they did not reveal this story that they're now claiming, that she was diagnosed with pneumonia on the Friday before.
Exactly.
And they would not have disclosed that but for a video that was not taken by a reporter, not taken by any member of the press, but was taken by a citizen with their smartphone.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That video forced the hand of Hillary Clinton and her campaign, and thus, because of the fact that we have so much prevarication, so much cover-up going on with Hillary Clinton in relation to Benghazi, the emails, the Clinton Foundation, etc., people rightly presume that there is no credibility here. And so they question her, because this has been going on for years, with her passing out, hitting her head, having a concussion, and claiming a series of maladies, and none of which are consistent, so the latest being pneumonia, And, you know, physicians are appearing on cable shows, judging by the videos and the pictures and coming up with theories. But we shouldn't have to do that because this is an important issue and she should be forthright. So I don't know what's going to happen, whether she's going to release, but my, you know, she's going to release something.
Right.
But my guess is, judging by her history, it will be some sort of incomplete summary written by her personal physician that travels with her, and it will have no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah, we're ready, and not to be surprised. And, of course, all this that happened on Sunday was led up by 2 weeks of all kinds of conspiracies, as you referenced, James. They stand as conspiracies because there's no official document saying that, you know, her health is, you know, her health is a bigger issue and more of a major problem than what her doctor admitted to on Friday and said, well, I told her she had pneumonia.
And just by Bill Martinez and James Herson discussing this, we've fallen into the basket of deplorables.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Well, she's grateful that we are talking about that as opposed to her basket of deplorables that she referred to, right?
I think so. I think that is, and even Democrat surrogates who've appeared on shows with me and been on cable and stuff have said that this is a huge error and that it is never a good idea for a candidate to insult voters. And that, and it harkens back to when they made a big deal out of Mitt Romney's,
yeah.
Talking about the 47%, which really wasn't nearly as bad as this, because she followed her basket of deplorable statement with giving certain attributes to the people that support Donald Trump, saying that they were racist and xenophobic and misogynistic and whatever. She had a whole bunch of phobics.
Yeah, of course. Well, look who she was talking to, though, James.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, I mean, basically, and the audience reaction was very revealing.
Right.
They just started laughing. Yeah, but she was at a
LGBT. Yeah.
LGBT fundraiser.
Yes,
she's
exactly.
Been very good at, and I guess she hasn't passed out at any of the fundraisers.
No, well, there's just too much money on the line to keep bragging, right?
They're a little coughing fit here and there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, hey, can we talk movies?
Sure.
I want to talk about the art of storytelling and box office magic. You know, what's going on with the summer major movie studios? You know, they're you know, sitting by and watching as a series of ill-conceived sequels, reboots, and remakes seriously underperformed at the box office this summer.
Yeah, this year, I think, you know, the executives in Hollywood live in an insecure environment. They're very scared, so they go for the safe bet. And for the last few years, they've been picking sequels, franchise-type movies, as a safer bet. Some of them have paid off really well, but this summer really was a real bad summer for sequels, so much so that there's talk about not necessarily dealing with the sequels, but also there were a lot of bombs in general in movies. And I think the key thing, and we've talked about it on your show, the reliance on special effects that are generated by new technology, so-called CGI, stands for computer graphic imagery, 3D, and these franchise and sequels, rather than what Hollywood is the best place in the world at, our biggest export, is this idea of storytelling, a good story.
Yeah, a good story. Yeah, trumps all, doesn't it?
Pardon?
So to speak. I say a good story trumps all, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, and a good you Trump, too.
Right.
Got a good story. Yeah. You know, like right now, Sully, the movie Sully,
yes.
Eastwood, which is an Oscar-bait movie, number one at the box office, rave critical reviews, and it has the elements of a good story. And interestingly enough, when we look at the Hollywood films, there are three movies that covered so far this year 25% of the total box office, and that is Finding Dory, animated Disney movie, Disney's Captain America Civil War, a superhero, but a pure superhero Captain America, and Universal's The Secret Life of Pets. All three of those movies have a clear central premise. They have characters that are well-developed and multidimensional. They have a protagonist or multiple protagonists, the hero. They have villains who are trying to oppose the hero. and then they have this rhythm of conflict and resolution. We all resonate to that. We resonate to that in Shakespeare stories, in the stories of great writers, and the stories that are of hit TV shows. It doesn't matter. And in the end, Hollywood needs to get back to that and not rely on this other stuff. Because that was the problem with
and by the way, James, very family friendly as well. I mean, a broad audience with those three movies.
Well, the family friendly films we've said on your show pay the bills in Hollywood. Yes. So if you're family friendly and have the elements of a good story, and then you add the right kind of cast, which of course Clint Eastwood did and Sully, you're gonna have a home run. The problem with Ben Hur is the concept was great. It's a Christian story. It was going to be marketed to the faith community, but they relied on the computer graphic images, the 3D, turned it into an action movie, and the faith was reduced from the original. And that was a huge mistake, plus the fact it didn't quite have the star power, despite Morgan Freeman appearing in it. As we said on your show, it's big sandals to fill when you're trying to do Charlton Heston.
Exactly. Plus, undermarketed. I still maintain undermarketed. I think they thought, faith-based movie. We've got the Christians who go to church on Sunday, and that'll be enough to carry the day.
But the other thing is we have the new social media technology, and you can't get away with fooling people to go and maybe pay all your bills on the debut weekend, because what happens is people who go to the early shows start texting, tweeting, Facebooking, social media-ing their thoughts on the film. If it's a stinker, it spreads like wildfire. What we used to call word of mouth is now word of digital mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Light years faster. They can't get it. So content has to have quality, or people, the real critics, meaning ordinary public, will kill it.
Well, James, I'm sure they're glad to get out of the summer doldrums. What do we have look forward to? I mean, we're getting into the final months where all the award-winning films will be coming out, or the projected award-winning films.
Yeah, there's going to be some great movies coming out, including Mel Gibson has an incredible movie coming out about Desmond Doss. That will be released, and it's being talked about as an Oscar movie. And, of course, Clint Eastwood's movie is. And we'll have the typical slate of dark, dismal, depressing movies that Hollywood loves to release in Oscar season.
Well, yeah, because, in order to be in the running, you've got to create some sort of R-rated movie to be on the team, right?
Right. Yeah, it's got to be R-rated, and it's got to explore the dark depths of the human heart and have anti-heroes and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's very strange.
Well, like you say, the typical proven formula of having a protagonist, antagonist, a message with some sort of moral value, and a feel-good ending, seems to be consistent. I mean, that was pretty much Murder, She Wrote. That was their formula. They followed for many years, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But I expect, Hacksaw Ridge is the movie Mel Gibson's going to
own. Yes, right.
I think it's going to be, similar to Sully, it's going to be something really inspiring. He debuted it at the Venice Film Festival, and it got a 10-minute standing ovation.
Wow. Well, James, we got to leave it there. We got to go. James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. As always, great to have you with us, James.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled akashicuniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We use mobile devices.